Series today, and we're doing a series on joy. I thought leading up to Christmas, a series on joy would be fairly appropriate. And so last week we looked at what joy really meant, and we looked at to really have joy in our heart, we really need to fully develop that relationship with God and be seeking Him. We looked at how Jesus, you know, would spend all night sometimes just seeking God and praying, and we looked at how we have to lift our head. We can't, in fact, Lisa has mentioned it, we can't just look at the circumstance. We have to lift up, and we have to look above and beyond the circumstance to what God is doing and to the bigger picture. And we also looked at expressing joy, and we talked about how, you know, David expressed joy. And do you remember the little video we had at the end about sending joy to the world? And I think one of the things that we have to remember with joy is it isn't, whilst we do express it at times in emotion, it is more than the emotion. And it's that really deep sense of knowing who God is and finding a joy in that. This week, I've entitled it Joy, the Joy of Giving. And it's actually really more about having a generous heart and how we find joy in having a generous heart. And so you'll actually find that most of today is actually on giving generously. But I really believe that as we can do that, it frees us to really have a joy in giving and to be able to live a life of joy that actually flows out in generosity to other people. So I want to start with 2 Corinthians 8, 1-5. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's actually writing to them about the church in Macedonia. Paul had been collecting a gift for the Christians in Jerusalem who were having a bit of a rough time. And he's encouraging the Corinthians to fulfill their promise of the gift that they were going to give. And he says this: "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do." So they were filled with abundant joy. Filled with abundant joy, and it overflowed. Their joy overflowed in rich generosity. And can I encourage you at some stage to read all of chapter 8 and chapter 9, because there's a lot of really fabulous stuff about giving and about the freedom in giving in both of those chapters, and we'll look at quite a few of those today. Now, of course, one of the things I want us to remember here is that our generosity is not just limited to money. Paul was writing about a gift in this particular time, but it was not just limited to money. But it does say that God loves a cheerful giver. And we've heard that quite a lot. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 onwards says, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." What I like about these scriptures is that there's always, this is what you need to do, and this is what God's promise is. And I like that. I like the fact that there's a, give generously, and God's promise is that it will be returned. Give generously, and God will provide all that you need. In fact, he'll provide an abundance for what you need. You know, the word for cheerful is something like hilaros or something like that. And guess where we get our word hilarity from? God loves a giver who is giving with great... It's not just, I think cheerfulness really is a fairly weak translation of that particular word, because if you think about what the word hilarity means, it is great joy. And it's not just that deep joy that we were talking about last week, but it's joy that actually expresses and overflows and bubbles up in great joy about giving. So next offering, girls, I expect a few giggles as we give hilariously. But it comes from the generosity of spirit, and it comes from, I think, living our lives as a sacrifice to God that allows us to be generous. And in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I think it's what I want to get to this morning is the fact that it actually This all comes out of our relationship with God and about seeking God, and it allows us, in fact, everything we do actually comes back to our relationship with God. If we just got that bit right, all the other stuff would actually flow out. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all of He has done for you. Give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Some translations will say, present yourselves before God. It says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Our life is to be a holy sacrifice. It says, this is truly the way to worship Him. And then it goes on, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And you might say, well, how does that relate to joy and how does that relate to giving? I think it does, because it says don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. The behaviors and the customs of this world, especially our world that we live here in Australia, is geared to materialism. It is geared to the give me culture. It is geared to I need to have it all now. And so it's saying don't copy those behaviors and customs. When it comes to joy and when it comes to generosity, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world. Have you ever noticed that if you focus on the behaviors and customs of the world and you're thinking about the material stuff, you never have enough? Because somebody else always has more. Somebody else always has more. We'll never have enough. And just when you think you've got what your neighbor has, well, the neighbor two up the road has something more. And we'll never have enough. But God's saying, don't copy that. Don't think it's about the house or about your, in our case, you can tell it's not about the garden. But don't think it's about, the house or the garden or the furniture that you have or the comforts of home. Don't think it's about that. Don't be caught up in that. I think the temptation for us as Aussies is to get caught up in that materialistic. Well, we're a very materialistic society. And I want to challenge us this morning to change that. Be an agent of change in that, because we can, as Christians, understand that God is the one who provides all those things for us. And as we give generously and we're not copying the behaviors and customs, as we give out and we're giving generously to others, God actually says He will provide everything that we need. So let's give ourselves as a living sacrifice. That means giving of our best to God. A living sacrifice is giving of our very, very, very best to God. The sacrifices of the Old Testament, they got into a bit of trouble when they didn't give their best. God is wanting our best. And so let's give our best to God. And I think the joy of giving actually comes from this generosity of spirit that comes from a new thinking. When we have different thinking, that generosity of our spirit can actually rise up and be released and can be freed. You know, we have to remember that we are actually temporary residents on this earth. We have to remember that we're temporary residents. You know, I was just flicking through Twitter this morning and, every so often you'll find on there somebody has, passed on to, especially if you're following Christians, might say pass on to heaven or, there was one this morning that said, please pray for a family that was close to these people, but it was heaven's gain. We live in a very transient world. One day we will die and we can't take with us all that stuff. And one day all the stuff we have is just not going to be important. And I think we kind of think that this is our permanent home, but actually our permanent home is in heaven. And that's where our focus should be, is about where our permanent home is. And I want to encourage us this morning. Where's our focus this morning? Is it on the stuff here or is it on heaven? Is our focus on heaven? In Matthew 6, 19 to 21, lots of scriptures this morning, girls, but the Bible has a lot to say about this. And I've only picked a few of them, I can assure you. It says, don't store up treasure here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Can I say, I've been cleaning out my linen press. And of those of you who are on Facebook, you might say, I found all sorts of wonderful things. I found booties that we were given when Liz was born, like about 20 pairs of them. I think we used about 2 pairs of them. Some of them are actually in pristine condition. But one of the things that I discovered is that if you leave something in your cupboard long enough, the moths will get it. These booties were okay, they were wrapped up. But I had a little jumper that I thought I'd wrapped up well to preserve it. See, it's preserving something of this earth and the moths got it because the plastic broke. And that's what life is here like. If we're putting our faith and our trust and our hope in the things of this world, it's just going to break and fall apart and be ruined and destroyed, because that's what happens. And Jesus says don't place your trust in that. Place your trust in the things of heaven. Place your trust in God and store up treasure in heaven. The word treasure, it really means have a treasury in heaven where you store everything. Not a treasury here on earth, but a treasury in heaven. So Jesus is saying, don't be focused. Don't be focused on the things of the world. Where's our heart today, girls? Where is our heart today? Are we focused on what we want to get, or are we focused on the kingdom of heaven and on how generous we can be? Where's our focus this morning? You know, Jesus was really tough on this stuff. In Matthew 6:24, he says, no one can serve two masters, for they will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That is, like, Jesus is really tough about this. He says, if your focus is on money, then basically you hate God. That's basically what he's saying. He's saying, if your focus is on, and you love money, then basically you can't love God because your love is in the wrong spot. And that seems like really tough, doesn't it? But the truth is that that's what it is. Because if we're always focusing on the money that we have, or the material stuff that we have, we cannot be fully focused on the things of God. And it just seems tough, but Jesus is really, really clear. And I think we either love God and use money to serve his purpose, or we love money and we try to use God to serve our purpose. And I want to challenge you this morning. What are you doing with God? Are you trying to get him to serve your own purpose by doing what you want him to do? Or are you actually serving God and loving God and just using what you have to serve his purpose? It's pretty clear cut, girls. I know it sounds tough, but we're coming up to Christmas. And I think around Christmas, we can get really caught up in this materialistic thing, and we have to be really, really careful about it. Let's not get trapped by the things of this world. And Peter says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbours, that even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honourable behaviour and they will give honour to God when he judges the world. Remember that we are temporary residents and foreigners in this world. Having said all that, I want us to understand that God wants to bless us as well. God does want to bless us. He says that he wants to bless us. Matthew 7:9-11. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a steak? Of course not. It says, of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us with himself. He's blessed us in what he's done for us. He wants to pour out his Holy Spirit upon us. There is so much stuff that God wants to do to bless us. And we get so caught up in the little bits, but God wants to bless us. I think we need to understand a few things as we come here. The first thing is that generosity honors God. Generosity honors God. And as we are generous, I think we have to look at Jesus again as our example. Last week, we talked about how for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And he gave with great joy, even when it cost him a great deal. But it brought honor and glory to God. And so as he walked that difficult walk, and then as he sort of looked at the joy before him, that was the salvation of souls all that he'd given up would be returned to him. As he looked to all of that stuff and he's looked to us, it says he did it with joy. And he was able to give of himself generously. He gave everything of himself for us, and he did it with joy, and he did it with generosity. You know, let's look again at 2 Corinthians 9:11 to 15. It says, God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And this is why we're always generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Did you get that little verse in there? As we give generously and joyfully, not only are others blessed, but more importantly, they will give thanks to God and they will honor God. And you know what? As people around see that, they will also give honor to God. The context of this is the offering for the people in Jerusalem. God provided their need. They were in dire straits, and God provided their need through this offering. It wasn't what they were giving on a weekly basis. It was an offering that was given generously. And if you remember our first reading, the Macedonians had given, it said, just really, really generously out of great, great joy. And it brings glory to God. Because right now, even now, 2,000 years later, people talk about what the Macedonians did and give glory to God because of it. And so when we give, it gives glory to God. And I guess I have to ask myself, are people praising and honoring God because of my generosity? Or do they not know because I'm being stingy? Are there people who are praising God because of our generosity? It's something to think about, isn't it? Not for what we get out of it, but because, is it honoring God? What is our motivation for giving? Is it to honor God? These are things that I've been thinking about. My question to me is, am I honoring God with my money, or am I serving myself? Am I honoring God with my money, or my life, or my belongings, or whatever it is that I have, with my time, with my energy? Am I honoring God with all of those things? Because it's not just about money. You talk about money. I think the reason Jesus talked about money is because it's actually the hardest one for us to be generous with in many ways. It's the hardest one for us to part with because it's the one that catches our soul the most. And we need to break that and release it. But I ask myself the question, am I honoring God with my money, or am I serving myself? And as we answer that, we need to then think, well, what do we actually need to do to change that? What do we need to do to make sure that we are honoring God with our money? Because God doesn't want to be honored. I think Tony said it on Sunday. God doesn't want to be honored because he's an egomaniac, okay? God wants to be honored so that other people will know about God. And it talks about making his fame known in the earth. Why? Because God loves people and he wants people to be saved. And it's about honoring God. And that's why we bring glory and honor to God. Because there are people in this world that don't know God. We've got guys in China at the moment who are honoring God by their lives and reaching out so that other people can know and honor God. So that other people can know and honor God. It's pretty straightforward. So what are we doing? What we have, we're using it to honor God, and other people honoring God as a result. They may never know who's blessed them, but are they honoring God as a result? It's interesting to think about, isn't it? I think the second thing is that generosity brings freedom. When we have a joy in giving and we're generous, it actually brings a freedom to our lives. Because when we're free, we can give with no strings attached. Who's ever received a present that had a string attached to it? You know what I mean? Not just the pretty bow on top. There was an expectation in return. When we give generously, it frees us from that expectation of return. We give generously because we can give ourselves fully to the work of the kingdom. See, we don't give from a sense of duty. We give from a sense of freedom. And I think that changes our perspective. We give from a sense of freedom. And I don't know about you, but I actually find when we give and we challenge ourselves to give above and beyond, it actually does free our heart. Because it says, I'm not held captive by the amount of money that I have in my wallet. I'm not held captive by the material things. Challenge yourself. Let me read 2 Corinthians 8, those first few verses again. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done to the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. but they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They did it of their own free will. It says, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. Do you know why they did that? Because they were free. They were free to give because they realized that being generous and giving joyfully was actually about living in freedom. It's actually about not being caught up in all those things. They gave of their own free will. They were free to give to God what belonged to Him. Do you remember someone came to Jesus and said, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And they're trying to trap him. And Jesus says, give me a coin. He says, whose head's on the back? And he says, okay, give to God what is God's and give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And these guys understood that. They understood that giving to God and giving an offering was giving to Him what was actually due Him. That giving to God was a freeing thing. It was actually, they were free to do it because they knew what belonged to God. They knew what belonged to God and they were free to do it. And girls, everything we have actually belongs to God. Have you ever thought about that? Everything we have actually belongs to God. And when we give back, we're actually not doing Him any great favors. Have you ever thought about that? It's kind of funny, isn't it? You know, God is honored when we give, but it's not about doing Him a favor. He doesn't need it. God doesn't need it. But He uses it. He uses it to reach people. And that's it's freeing when we understand that. See, they did it with generosity and joy, not because they had to, but because they wanted to. Not because they had to, but because they wanted to. Not because they had lots of money. They were poor. This is really poor. I think sometimes we're not free to give because we think we don't have enough money. The Bible just says you don't need it. Just give what you can out of what you have. And they gave over and above, even though they were poor, because they wanted to do it. Paul says to the Corinthians when it comes to their giving, he says, this is what these guys did. They gave, and they gave generously. And then in 2 Corinthians 9:7, he says, you must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I think he's challenging them. First of all, he's telling them about how the Macedonians had given really, really generously. And he sets that as a standard. And then he says, but I want you to give generously as well. Don't do this because you have to. Don't do this because I'm telling you to have it ready. Don't do it. He's saying be ready and be prepared because you want to be. Be ready and be prepared because you want to be. Don't give it because someone's putting their thumb on you and says you have to. Do it willingly, out of a willing heart. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Isaiah 32:8 says, generous people plan to do what is generous and they stand firm in their generosity. I love that verse. It talks about freedom, I think. That people who are generous think all the time about being generous because they're not caught by money. They're not caught by it. And they make generous plans and they stand firm in their generosity. They don't go, whoops, got a bill to pay this week, don't think I can be generous this week. They stand firm in their generosity. Generous people are always looking at ways to give. Generous people always looking at ways to give. And Paul says, you know, we're not asked to give what we don't have. But he says, I want you to give freely so that everybody will have. Give freely of your time, of your money, of anything that you have, not so that you go without, but so that everybody has. Because when everybody is giving, everybody receives. And he says, I want you to give. I don't want you to go without stuff that you really need. But when we all give, you supply someone else's need and one day they will supply yours. There's a balance in all of that. But it comes out of knowing who God is. It comes out of being free and not holding onto the money. I think to be free, we actually have to deal with some of the unrealistic expectations that our society puts on us. I think we have unrealistic expectations of what it means to give. All through the year, if you look at it, you know, we're at Christmas now. How long have the Christmas decorations been in the shop? Since Father's Day, probably, in September. And if you think of what we're bombarded with every day, is buying that special gift for someone for Christmas, it's buying that special thing for someone for Easter, then there's Mother's Day, and then there's whatever other day they celebrate. Then there's Father's Day, and all through the year, we are bombarded with we have to have this and we have to have that. On the TVs, we're bombarded with the you can't miss this episode. And how many times have you heard that not to be missed episode? And so we sit in front of the not to be missed episode and waste our time instead of giving of our time to something that's really worthwhile. And we're bombarded by the pictures that says we have to have the new tool. We have to have the new bit of makeup. We have to have the new dress and the new shoes. And girls, we don't. We don't have to have all that stuff. That stuff is a trap. That stuff is a trap. Because do you know what? Your new fabulous vacuum cleaner that works brilliantly this week might die on you next week. Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm not saying we don't need a vacuum cleaner, girls. I think it's really helpful to vacuum the floor. But what I'm saying is, don't feel like you always have to have the best one, because they all just vacuum the floor. You know, they all just vacuum the floor. Buy that special box of chocolates. You know? Brian doesn't eat much chocolate these days. We got given some yummy ones the other day, and there was some white chocolate in it, which he's eaten, and I've been really very good. I haven't eaten the rest yet. I've been very, very... Do you know what it is, girls? You know, the world will tell you that your child has to have the latest new Fandangle toy, and they're wonderful. You should see Joel playing with his. You know, they're pretty great. But actually, sometimes the box that you can post something into works really well. I'm not saying don't buy your kids presents for Christmas. What I'm saying is let's not get caught up in thinking they have to have the world. I know people who spend $500 and $600 on each child for Christmas. Totally and utterly caught in the trap. Christmas is about what Jesus did for us and about giving because of what Jesus did for us. It's not about splurging heaps and heaps and heaps on our family and on our kids. Celebrate what Jesus did and give because of what Jesus did. But let's lose the expectation that we have to give hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth. That somebody's going to stuff... Who's ever given someone a present that you found stuffed under the bed later? Or broken? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying, girls? It's just like... Let's lower the expectation. And don't get caught up in the I have to give this because that's what's expected of me. Give because you want to give. Buy a present because you want to give that present to your child, your parent, your whoever it is. But remember, it's actually about the joy of giving. You spend lots and lots of money, and it's not about the joy of giving. It's about the frustration of having to go and find all of those presents. It's about the frustration of having to wrap the jolly things up, and then you have to go back to the shop because you didn't buy enough paper, or you bought the cheap paper and the paper you bought ripped. It's like, yeah, more sticky tape. And it's not joyful. Giving is meant to be joyful. It's meant to be freeing. It's meant to be about giving to the other person so that it honors God, that it glorifies God, and that His name is lifted high. And as we do that, we are freed to give and to give and to give generously. And so I just want to challenge us this Christmas. Let's not get caught up. Maybe you've already gone and bought all your Christmas presents next year. but let's remember that it's actually about the act of giving and about the thought of giving and about why we give, not what we give. It's about who Jesus is. So I want to ask us this. Are we giving from a place of freedom? Are we giving to whatever? Are we giving to God? Are we giving to our family and friends? Are we giving of our time and our energy from a place of freedom or from a sense of duty, from a sense of I have to, from a sense of I'm frustrated? Let's make an effort to give because we want to, and let's challenge ourselves to do it. What attitudes might we need to change? What attitudes might we need to change to free ourselves up as we approach Christmas so that we can give with joy and with love and with grace? And the last thing I want to look at today is that generosity brings blessing. Generosity brings blessing. Proverbs 22:9 says, and it says it in the King James, it says, he that has a bountiful eye will be blessed because he gives to the poor. A bountiful eye. He who has a bountiful eye. The New Living Translation says, blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. Blessed are those who are generous. So those who give are blessed. And as we know from what we read earlier, those who receive are also blessed. Generosity brings blessing all around. All around. Proverbs 23:6-8. Maybe we can remember this at Christmas. It says, don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. They are always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. You will throw up what little you've eaten, and your compliments will be wasted. That's charming, isn't it? No one is blessed when people are stingy. No one is blessed when people are stingy. Stingy people pretend to bless, but it's not a blessing for anybody. Stingy people may make it look good, but all the while they are thinking they're not free. See, they're not giving freely, I said before. They're just not wanting to bless anybody. They're only looking like they want to play the part. He says, don't get caught up in that. No one is blessed with stinginess. So let's not be like that, girls. Let's not be like that. As we come together, let's remember to be generous. Let's be cheerful. Understand the joy that there comes in generosity. Luke 6:38 says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Yeah, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. If you're stingy, you'll get back stinginess. People say, oh, God doesn't bless me. What are you doing? Are you blessing other people? Are you blessing God? Are you seeking him? Are you serving him? Don't expect God to bless you back if you're not blessing other people. Bit tough this morning. I'm trying to be nice about it, but it's true. It's actually really true. See, give and you will receive. That's a promise. It's a promise. But not only is it a promise that we will receive, it's a promise that we will receive back in full. Back in full. And then it says, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. You ever notice when you put sugar or rice or something in a bowl, it fills up pretty quickly, but if you shake it, if you shake it again, you can get quite a lot, much more in. So you might give a certain amount. What God is saying is, I'm going to give that back to you. It'll be shaken around so more and more and more can fit in. And I'm actually going to flow in so much more that it overflows the edge and lands in your lap. So that as we give, God will... What measure are you using to give? Are you using a thimbleful of measurement? Or are you using a bucket load or a trailer load? What are you giving? Is it the little thimble full? You don't get much in the thimble. In fact, most thimbles these days don't even fit my finger inside them. You don't get much in a thimble. They are very tiny. See how much rice you can get in a thimble. And see how much rice you can get in a 10-litre bucket. Very, very different. And God is saying the measure you use is what you'll get back. If you give a thimbleful, I'll give you a thimbleful back and I'll press it down and I'll overflow, but not much. But if you give a bucketful, you'll get your bucketful back and much more. So what measure are you using? Let's remember that it's about blessing, that God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us. But as we give, others are blessed as well. Acts 20:35 says, I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. As we give, it is actually a blessing. We are blessed to give. And I don't know about you, but as you free up yourself to give, it does become a really joyful thing. And you do receive a blessing just from the sheer fact of being able to honor God with something. You don't even need anything back in return, and you're blessed. God just wants to bless us in all things. God gives an abundance, he says, for every good work. I read this scripture before, and I'll read it again. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. That's the same thought as before. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. They share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. I love that passage of scripture. It says that we will have more than enough for every good work. More than enough for every good work. And in the meantime, as we are sharing and being generous, God will provide everything that we need. And he will increase our resources. He will increase our resources. Because we work really hard at increasing our resources. God says, be generous and I will increase your resource. Be generous and I will increase your resource. God wants to increase our resource. Because if you've only got a little, that's okay. Just be generous with the little that you have, and God will increase your resource so that you can be generous with more and share with more and see the work of the kingdom happen. See, God gives us an abundance so that we can complete his work and be a blessing to others. An abundance for every good work. Every good work. Everything that expands his kingdom. Everything that God is calling us to do. God will give us an abundance for that. And as we give generously, oh, there's a great joy in being able to have abundance. I'm pretty happy when there's an abundance. But the abundance isn't for me. It's for me to share so that other people can be blessed as well. I love this stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's really tough to think about because we get giving and how can we be joyful in giving. But when we are free, we can be joyful in our giving. When we are free, we can give generously and know that God's promise is there, that he will provide everything that we need, that we will be blessed in that process because he wants to bless us, and that other people will be blessed as well. Blessing all around. I think that's a win-win. Blessing all around. That as we bless, God blesses back. I want to challenge us this morning to seek God in all this process. As we seek God and as we give generously, he does promise us that he will give us an abundance. Now, God gives generously to us. God gives generously to us and blesses us. So let's give generously and joyfully to other people. So let's remember the joy in giving. You know, as we look to Christmas, and again, it's been more about having a generous heart, but having a generous heart brings joy. Having a generous heart allows us to be free. And having a generous heart brings honor to God. Let's be women who do that, especially as Christmas is coming. Let's be women who's a stand up, want to honor God in that process. And as we go into next year, let's look for opportunities to bless other people. Let's look for ways that we as individuals and as a community of women can actually really bless other people, because God promises that he will increase and give us an abundance for everything that we need. Because what good work are you doing? God will provide. God will provide for it. As we finish this morning, let's just remember that God loves us and that God wants to bless us. He really wants to bless us. Helen was talking before about change thinking and about Dr. Carolyn Leaf. And it is true. We become, the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. And we become what we think about. So let's focus on blessing. Let's focus on giving. Let's focus on being generous. Let's focus on who God is and what he's done. Let's think about all of those good things. Change our thinking to all of those good things and allow the generosity to just flow out of you. Why don't we stand together? Thank you, God. Father, I thank you that your promise is for an abundance for every good work. And I pray, Father, for every one of us this morning that we will understand. We will understand the joy of giving. That, Father, as we approach the Christmas season, that, Father, our hearts will be free to give generously to you, give generously to our family and friends. I pray, Father, that as we give generously, we'll give not under compulsion, but because we want to. That, Father, above all, we just pray, Lord, as we approach Christmas, we'll be mindful of the every good work that you want us to be focused on. And that, Father, that your promise for abundance is for every good work. And I pray, Father, that we will not withhold what you have given us, when it's for the every good work that you've called us to do. But Father, we want to come before you and just declare, Father, that we are just so thankful for what Jesus did for us. We are thankful, Lord, for your generosity toward us. But Father, help us to be generous, to love you and to find great joy in giving. In Jesus' name.